Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi there, I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. I run a shop in Odyssey called Whit's End. It's a place of discovery, imagination, and excitement. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
Ha! Guess I showed them.
This the one? Yeah, that's him.
No gas.
Ah! Pour some more in the pool. Wanna jump in and float on them bubbles?
God, can we talk for a minute? Well, I just wanted to thank you one more time for my great friend, John Avery Whittaker. You're probably wondering why, huh? Well, it all started over at his house a couple of hours ago. You know, I went over to help him clean out his garage, and I'd been there a few times before, but this time, something about it struck me as being odd. And then I realized this thought had been in the back of my mind for a long time, and it wasn't just about the house, but about Whit himself. So, while we were cleaning, I decided to approach him about it.
Okay. Now that we got a space cleared, let's move that stack of boxes into it, huh?
Okay. Whit?
Yeah?
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Well, you know the answer to that. Go ahead and ask away.
Well, this question is pretty personal. See, it's about, money.
Oh, you want a raise?
No. Well, yeah. Well, but no, but that's not it. I mean, it's about your money.
Ah. Well, you still have my permission to ask. What do you want to know?
Well, I know you own Whit's End and the Universal Press Foundation.
Right.
But is that all you own?
Oh, I have my hand in a few other business pots as well.
Then it's safe to assume you're, how should I put this? Wealthy?
By some standards, that would be a safe assumption, yes.
Well, then why would a man with all your wealth and property choose to live in such a mediocre home?
Mediocre?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right, but it's pretty run-of-the-mill.
Well, I like my home. It serves my needs.
I know, but why don't you live in a style more befitting your financial status?
Now you sound like Eugene.
Well, there's no reason to get insulting.
No, I'm sorry.
Come on, you know what I mean. You can afford the best in cars and food and furniture and clothes and, well, anything. But looking around your house, you really don't have a lot. In fact, I mean, you live not all that much better than me.
You sure this isn't about a raise?
Whit!
Oh, all right, all right. Well, it's true, I'm not hurting financially, and I could live quite extravagantly if I chose to, but, well, in fact, I really did at one point in my life.
So what happened?
Well, wisdom and experience taught me that it's much better to exercise moderation and live more simply.
Bummer.
Oh, not at all. Take it from someone who experienced the most expensive things in life, Connie. You're better off without them. Of course, I don't expect you to believe me.
Well, you got that right. I mean, if I had the bucks, I'd definitely live like it.
Well, if you had the bucks, that's certainly a valid choice. All I can say is that it isn't the right one for me, and for some very good reasons.
Yeah? Like what?
You really want to know?
You have to ask that question?
All right, then. Follow me. Here.
Tales of Moderation? A book?
Yep. You said you wanted to know my reasons. Well, the three stories in that book will explain them better than I can.
Hmm.
Well, just read it. You'll see. Won't take long. I'm going to make us some tea.
Okay. Story one. An hour later. Once there were two farmers, Bill...
Oh, MacDonald had a farm.
And Ted.
Yeah, yeah, ooh.
Their farms were right next to each other, so they often worked side by side.
With a quack, quack here,
and a quack, quack there,
here,
quack, there,
quack,
everywhere,
quack, quack.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Now, Now the harvest had ended, and, as was the custom, Farmer Bill rode to the town general store to discuss his year.
Howdy, storekeep.
Howdy, Farmer Bill. I see you rode old Bessie into town.
Yep.
So how are things?
Things are good. Good, 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 good. Harvest is in, and it is something to behold.
So what are your plans?
Plans? Why, what do you think my plans are? It's time to party, and I aim to whoop it up.
Don't you think you should set something aside?
No, sir. What for? Full speed ahead, that's what I say. Go for broke. Let it all hang out. Sidney or the bush?
Sidney or the bush?
Well, hello, everyone.
Well, howdy, Ted. How's the stodgy set living these days?
Well, just fine, Bill.
Bill was just telling me about how good his crop was. How'd you fare?
Well, very nicely, storekeep. God has blessed us richly this year.
Well, what are you going to do with your blessings?
Well, I've decided to divide my bounty into fourths.
Fourths?
Yep, fourths. First portion goes back to God. Second portion to help the poor. Third portion I'll put away for the lean times. And the fourth portion my family and I will use now.
You have got to be kidding. Why, what do you want to live like that for? Don't you want to have a good time?
We'll have a good time, Bill. I just don't see any reason to go overboard about it.
Oh, well, I do. I've worked plumb hard this year, and it's paid off, and now it's time to go crazy.
Well, I hope you have a good time, Bill.
Oh, don't worry, I will. Life is made to live, and I intend to do some incredible living.
And live he did. Farmer Bill really went to town and had a good many laughs at the expense of Farmer Ted, who lived quite modestly, while Farmer Bill ate in only the finest restaurants.
Would you kindly bring me some more of them snails and this filet mignon and another bottle of this fancy grape juice?
Farmer Ted ate at home.
Pass the roast beef and mashed potatoes, please, and I'll have a little more water, if I may.
While Farmer Bill extended his credit and bought a new truck.
Yes, sir, I really went all out on this puppy. Top of the line, turbocharged, fuel-injected V8 2,000 horsepower, dual overhead cam with sidewall mud flaps and two steering wheels, sitting near the bush.
Farmer Ted repaired his 5-year-old pickup.
Well, she may not be too much to look at on the outside, but she's paid for and she gets me where I want to go.
While Farmer Bill threw a lavish New Year's Eve party.
Some more in the pool. Want to jump in and float on them bubbles.
Farmer Ted celebrated quietly with his family.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and may the Lord continue to bless and keep us.
At last, it was time for spring planning again.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I.
But this year, all did not go well.
Uh-oh.
Instead, the blights came.
Hi there.
Who are you?
We're the Blights. I'm Morty. This is my wife, Ethel.
Hello.
And these are our kids, Mort, Jr.,
Hi.
Bowl, and
Hello.
Weevil.
Nice to meet you.
We've come to destroy your crops.
And destroy they did. The Blights ate everything they set their millions of tiny little eyes on. The farmers did all they could to get rid of them. Flooding. Spraying. Blowing. They tried pesticides, insecticides, and nastycides, but nothing worked. The blight stayed on like unwanted relatives. Soon there was nothing left, and Farmer Bill really felt it.
Boy, things are bad. Bad, 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 bad. Hunger and want slink across the land like two giant slinky things.
Yes, this year was a far cry from the previous one, but some things didn't change. Farmer Bill still ate in the finest restaurants.
Dibs on that garbage can!
And Farmer Ted still ate at home.
Please pass the roast beef and mashed potatoes.
And while Farmer Ted drove around in his 6-year-old but paid-for pickup, Farmer Bill's new truck was repossessed and he had to walk.
I didn't know the sole of my shoe was pink. Oh, that's my foot.
And while Farmer Ted celebrated the new year quietly with his family...
Well, Happy New Year, everyone, and may the Lord continue to bless and keep us.
Farmer Bill was partaking of his neighbor's charity from the previous year, when he had given part of his bounty to the poor. Yes, Farmer Ted's common sense in choosing to always live moderately served him well, for his life contained far less trauma when the bad times hit, and actually looked pretty good to those who'd laughed at him before. Which brings us to the moral of this first tale of moderation. If you use it all up now, you won't have any later.
Here's the tea. How's it going?
Well, I've read the first story. Moral's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, common sense usually is. I didn't say my reasons are profound, Connie, just that they're my reasons. Besides, did you know what it was before you read it?
Well, no.
Well, maybe the next one will be a little less obvious. Keep reading.
Story two, Who Owns Who? Once there was a young man who determined to be self-sufficient in every way. To that end, he set out to automate his life. It took him a long time, but after much hard work, he'd finally bought and installed in his home every modern convenience available.
At last, I am self-sufficient. Now I am truly independent.
One morning, he arose and went into his automated kitchen to make himself some breakfast. He just put two slices of bread into the toaster when suddenly he heard a voice.
Hey.
He looked around but could see no one. So he proceeded with his breakfast making when...
Hey, you.
Who is that? Who's there? I demand to know who's speaking.
I am. Down here.
It was his toaster.
You're talking to me?
Sure, why not?
Because I didn't know you could.
There are a lot of things around here you don't know about.
Well, what do you want?
I want to know why you've been neglecting me.
Neglecting you?
You heard me. When you first brought me home, you were very attentive. But now look at me. I'm all greasy, my shine is faded, and my springs are nearly shot.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sorry, don't cut the mustard. I'd make a whole lot better toast if you'd just clean out my crumb tray once in a while, tighten my lower panel, and get rid of these butter stains.
I don't believe this.
Yeah, I know. Butter's really hard to get off.
No, I don't believe I'm talking to you, or that you're talking. This can't be happening. I've been working too hard. Yeah, that's it. Need to relax with some TV. Good idea. Yeah.
And so, he left the kitchen to go watch some television. But when he turned it on...
I say.
What?
Don't have a cow, man. It's just me, your TV.
This is absolutely incredible.
I don't know why. I'm always talking to you. You just haven't been listening until now.
This must be some sort of trick.
It's no trick. I'm tired of being neglected, too. I mean, my speakers are fuzzy, my color tint is off, and look at the lines across my screen.
I need to splash some cold water on my face.
The young man ran into the bathroom, only to be met by...
Don't think you'll get away from us in here.
My electric razor?
Yes, we want a few words with you, too.
Ah, my portable shower massager?
I'm tired of carrying around your old whiskers.
And have you seen the calcium deposits inside my head assembly lately?
Oh, I'm having delusions. This is a nightmare. Yeah, that's it. It's a nightmare. I just need to wake up, that's all. I'll just go into my room, lie down on the bed, and wait for the alarm to go off. Then everything will be back to normal.
So that's what he did. And after a few seconds, his alarm did go off.
Oh, boy. Oh, what a dream. Oh, nice to be awake, though. Better turn off the old alarm.
Thank you.
You're what? What?
Now, can we talk about my timing mechanism? I think it's getting a little slow.
The young man bounded out of bed and flung open his bedroom door, only to be met by all of the appliances in his house.
Hold it! How are you all doing this?
What difference does it make?
Yes, the point is you haven't been paying enough attention to us.
Look, the bottom line is this. None of us asked to be brought here. You wanted us here, so we demand that you take care of us, right? Yeah, take care of us.
Absolutely.
And if I refuse?
Then we stop working.
That means no more toast, no more juice.
No more TV programs or videos.
No more showers or shaves.
Nothing.
It's a pretty small price to pay for the convenience of living in an automated house. So what do you say?
Well, I guess I have no choice.
Yay!
Hooray.
So the young man agreed, and he kept his word. He polished.
Told you about it was hard to get off.
and adjusted.
A little more to the left. Still too much fuchsia.
And brushed.
Ah, whisker-free at last.
And scrubbed.
Ooh, just a few more deposits and we're done.
And generally maintained every one of his appliances. And all was well, for a while. But as time went on, the appliances became more demanding.
What do you mean, no more toast until I clean you out?
Just what I said. I still got crumbs from the last piece I made.
Well, that was 5 minutes ago.
Hey, you want good toast, you gotta pay the price.
And demanding.
Look, you didn't adjust my V-hold last night, so you don't get to watch your program. It's not good for you anyway. This one's much better. It's my favorite.
And demanding.
A shave? Just what makes you think you deserve a shave?
You want a shower after the way you refused to dry me off yesterday? Now beat it. I got a hot date with a water heater.
Until pretty soon, the young man was spending all his time doing nothing but maintaining appliances. Finally, the young man could stand it no longer.
That's it! Everybody into the living room! Now!
Put him in charge. All right. What gives, huh?
What gives? What gives? I'll tell you what gives. I have had it. I'm laying down the law.
Really? What law?
I am the human. You are the machines. You were created to serve me, not the other way around. You are all going to start doing what you were created to do. Or else.
Or else what?
Or else I'll cut you all off from your power sources. No electricity. No water. No gas. That's right. And now I'm going to take a drive and let you all think about it. And when I get back, there better be some changes around here. I expect everything to be in order and in tip-top shape. Got it?
And with that, he stormed out of the door and slammed it loudly, rushed to the garage, and hopped in his car.
Ha! Guess I showed them.
This the one?
Yeah, that's him.
Who's that?
It's me, your car.
And me, your garage.
Just where do you think you're going, buddy?
The moral to the second tale of moderation? Simply this. The more possessions you own, the more your possessions own you. Story 3. Can you journey through the eye of a needle? Though not original, this is the very best of these tales of moderation, for it tells the most important reason for living the moderate life. Once a young prince was born into a very wealthy kingdom. He grew up in the lap of luxury, his every whim instantly provided for. Now you'd think all this pampering would turn the prince into a rogue, but no. He was a good man who did good to those around him. He was faithful to his wife.
My darling, I love you, and I shall do so until the day I die.
He never killed anything.
Oops! Watch out, little aunt. I almost stepped upon you.
He didn't take things that weren't his.
Excuse me, kind merchant. I just discovered that when I was last in your market, you gave me too much change. I am returning it to you.
But that was 3 weeks ago. It's just a few pennies. Good prince, you are truly a good prince.
Lying was out of the question.
I cannot be false with you. I only pretended to throw the stick. See? Good boy. Now fetch.
And he always respected his mum and dad.
A toast. All that I am and ever shall be, I owe to the wisdom, patience, and good graces of my mother and father. To the king and queen.
The king and queen!
And not only did the young prince act good, he earnestly sought out goodness. He traveled to the moral teachers of the world, sat at their feet and drank in their knowledge. He asked them all his most important question.
Good teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life?
And they would always answer.
One so wise and good as you, young prince, must already have eternal life within your grasp.
And that always satisfied him. Then one day the young prince heard of a great teacher in a distant city, one who it was said had the secret of eternal life. The young prince immediately journeyed to the city to find this teacher.
Judge not, that you not be judged.
And when the young prince heard him speak to the multitudes, he knew the teacher was all everyone said he was, and more. The prince knew he must ask this teacher his most important question, and so he approached the great one.
For of such is the kingdom of heaven.
Good teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life?
The teacher's response stunned the young prince.
Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.
A murmur rippled through the crowd. Was this teacher putting himself on equal footing with God? But before the young prince could respond, the teacher continued.
You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father.
All these and more have I kept since I was a small boy.
One thing do you lack. Sell all that you possess and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.
His words were like a knife stabbing through the young prince's heart.
Sell all my possessions? How can I? I have responsibilities, duties to my community. People depend upon me. Sell all I have? Perhaps this teacher isn't so great after all. Obviously, he doesn't understand the responsibilities of a propertied man. Mm-hmm.
And the young prince turned and went away very sad, because he was extremely rich. Moral? Lay up your treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Well, now you know my reasons.
Yeah, and they're pretty good ones, too, even if they are obvious.
Well, like I said, common sense usually is. But even so, I'll wager most of us forget them on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, guess we better get back to the garage.
Oh, we don't have to. I finished it while you were reading.
Whit, why didn't you stop me?
You had something more important going on in here.
So, God, I ask that you'll help me practice what I've learned today about moderation. Let me not become like the rich young prince. Keep me from anything that would hold me back from following wholeheartedly when you call. And God, thank you again for my wise friend, Whit. Next to you and my mom, he's the best friend I have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.